person with, let's say I'm a doctor, every person has a disease. The disease behind the disease is a message, a story. So if I go to a normal doctor and the doctor gives me a painkiller for my pain, I never found my story, right? If I go to an acupuncturist, he puts in some needles and I get better, I never found my story. If I go to a homeopath and they give me a homeopathic remedy, perfect, I get healed, but did I find my story? If I go to a herbalist, same question. So that is the question. That's the only question that will change if this disease was helpful or not. Does it make sense?
Yes.
So there are many ways to find the story. It's not as complicated as people is. So if people think, so if someone has cancer, we can teach the person how to get the message from cancer. The cancer is the messenger. The cancer is not the enemy. The cancer, yes, we can destroy the cancer, but did we find the story? Okay. We can change our diet. We can get healed, but did we find the story? So from where I am as a holistic doctor, I can say that most holistic therapies are not holistic at all. The only holistic form of therapy that I believe in is when the person, that the client finds the story that is going to change that through all lifetimes.
Yes,
all right?
Yes, yes.
All lifetimes, not this one, all of them, because then I mastered the team and this game, part of the game is over. Now I can go to the next level of the game. You see, I can live 100% from light. I don't need to eat. I don't need to drink. That's how powerful the mindset is. So if I can do that, that means that my body can be fed with love. If I don't feed my body with love, I can feed my body with all vitamins in the world, but it will always miss one vitamin, and that's vitamin L, and that is love. If you miss vitamin L, you are deprived of the most important vitamin that you need. And that's the problem with most people. They miss one vitamin. Does that make sense?
Yes. I could always say yes, yes, yes. Hallo Herz, schön, dass du eingeschaltet hast. Ich bin Nadine Gerhardt und dieser Podcast ist mein absolutes Herzensprojekt, um dich zu inspirieren auf deinem ganz individuellen Weg zu mehr Fülle, Liebe und Lebensfreude. Hallo Herzensfamilie, Happy Monday! Wie schön, dass du wieder eingeschaltet hast zu einer neuen Folge von Heiter bis Sonic. Heute habe ich einen großartigen Mann im Interview und zwar Dr. Roy Martina. Ich bin großer Fan von ihm und ich bin mir sicher, spätestens nach dem Interview wirst du genauso Fan sein wie ich. Er spricht sehr, sehr klare Worte über all das, was da draußen so los ist. Wir sprechen über wahre Gesundheit und wie man sie erlangt. Wie funktioniert das Gehirn eines erwachten Menschen? Was sind die Geheimnisse einer glücklichen Partnerschaft? Was ist wahrer Erfolg? Wie läuft unser heutiges Gesundheitssystem ab? Und was steckt hinter der weltweiten Krise? Es wird mega, mega spannend und ja, ganz viel Spaß dabei.
You came from the Caribbean and studied medicine in the Netherlands. Since 1978, you have been dealing with alternative healing methods. And so you are a doctor, you are an author, a speaker and a coach of international and national celebrities, and you have so much experience. You have developed the method Omega Health Coaching from the decades of research and experience, and I have read two books from you, and on every side I had a great response and said yes, yes, yes. So very thankful, Dr. Roy Martina, that you are my guest in this podcast.
My pleasure.
And my very first question for you is, what is the meaning of the song Samba Pati from Santana in your life?
It has a profound meaning for me. It goes back to the time I was a medical student. I think I was 19 years old, and it was my first winter in Holland. And what happened was I got severely depressed. It was my second year in Holland. The year before, I went back home during the winter, so nothing happened, but I didn't know anything. But then the second year, I had to stay, and I got totally depressed. I had suicidal thoughts. That means not that I want to commit suicide, but I didn't see the meaning of life anymore. I didn't see why I would study, and I believed the world was going to destroy itself. Well, when we look back now, we're close to that point, right? And then one day on the radio, there was this song, and I didn't know the name, and I just heard it was from Santana or something. So I went to the shop to find it, because the song did something with me. It kind of lifted me up. And then I found the song, and it was a single, and the other side was Black Magic Woman from Carlos Santana, and that was the A side. So that was the one very important. So the B side was Sabapati. And I listened to that song over 100 times. It helped me get out of the depression. And that was one thing. And then the second thing was that I felt so much gratitude that I said, I just said to the universe, one day I want to thank this guy, Carlos Santana, for making this song. And then 25 years later, I am sitting with Carlos Santana in his study. And it was a magical meeting, how it also went, all kind of synchronicities. But the point was that he told me his story, and that he was depressed. He was in New York. And at the time, it was before Woodstock, before Santana became really big. And then he was explaining that he heard this song outside of a hotel room, and there was a homeless man playing the clarinet, and that lifted him up so much that he decided to make his own version of it. And that created a kind of an enormous bond, but also did more for me. I realized the power of intention, but it took 25 years. So I decided, I want this to be shorter. And that's how I started studying, the law of attraction, all those things, to understand more about how intention works. How is it possible that I send out a wish in the universe, and that the wish, maybe even though it's so many years later, exactly comes out, right? And the great thing was that I totally forgot about it. I was not actively pursuing it. And then I understood the real law of the universe. It is, you cannot force it. It needs to happen in what we call in synchronicities. It is synchronicity. The universe work with synchronicity. We work with willpower. We run, we chase. And from the day on, I decided to change my ways. And so the second time Carlos Santana changed my life is by understanding the power of intention. And from that day on, I start using the power of intention more. And I became, I would say, a master in the power of intention, that I can send out my wish in the universe and trust with 100% sure that it will come back to me in the right moment. And I've been working with this a lot. And then later on, I discovered that in the quantum science, that all the laws are there, but it is very difficult for us to apply it to our lives. It is the scientific laws, but not many people know how to apply these laws to your life. So I've been studying that for the last 10 years and with great, great success.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You, in your books, you talked about the Piscean age and the Aquarian age. Mm-hmm. What is the difference?
Well, if we look at our planet travels through the universe and makes a kind of it's not a circle, but an ellipse. So it travels in a certain path through the universe. And that travel time is 24,000 years. And those 24,000 years are, broken down into 12, we call it the astrological zodiac signs. So we have Pisces, Aquarius, all those things. And each period lasts 2,000 years. So we just finished, around 2000, more or less. We finished the 2000 years of Pisces. And Pisces, when we look at it from the spiritual standpoint of view, is where we're dealing with the concept of having to work hard, having to pay our dues. We need to suffer, struggle, talk about negative karma. And if we look at the whole story begins with Jesus Christ dying at the cross, but we're still sinners. So it didn't solve any problems. So we have this whole heaviness of the Pisces time. And this was also, we had the world wars. So we had World War I, World War II, which created enormous suffering on this planet. And now we're moving to a different part in the universe where we are bombarded with different types of, you call it cosmic energy. And the period we just enter now is the period where things should become lighter. We don't have to suffer anymore. We don't need to struggle. But it takes a new way of approach. We're still into mindset and the beliefs of Pisces, but we are already in the ascension of Aquarius. So now comes the transitional period. And in the transitional period, we have the most problems. This is the moments of the conflict. So when we look at what's happening also with this COVID time and also with the economy, this is typical of the transition from Pisces into Aquarius. So it's no surprise we have COVID right now, because the darkness, if we want to give it a name, the darkness now is going to fight for its place. It wants to keep the control, and it's doing a great job. If we see what has been doing happening at this time, I would say the darkness is winning. We don't have enough people yet who have been awakened enough to form a coalition against the darkness. So we are scattered. And as long as we don't become one, because Aquarius about oneness, so as long we are all over the place, we will suffer more until we get to the oneness. And my mission I see also to bring that oneness in holistic medicine. We need to, you know, get all the egos together and make one medicine, and not having, let's say, all these different egos telling it this is the best way or whatever. It's combining that and researching it in a good way. And that's why I called the type of healing that I do, the medicine, I call it Omega. Omega is the last letter in the alphabet, in the Greek alphabet, and it means everything comes together. So Omega is not only about what I know, but this place for everything everybody knows. The only difference is that we need to find a way to test what is the best for the patient or the client we're working with, and we have those ways to test what's the most effective method. And then, but what I see is that we have to move also more to changing the mindset of people. That's where we are right now, to move everyone into the Aquarius time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting. What means ease for you?
What
means ease for you?
Ease.
Yes.
Ease. Ease. Okay, so what I've learned when you send out your intention, that you need to do a couple of things. Number one, you need to state clearly what your heart desire is, and you don't need to know how you're going to get it. That's not important at all. Because when I send out the intention for Carlos Santana, I didn't have a plan. It was pure, right? It was pure heart's desire. And the way the universe works, it doesn't force things, so it is in flow. So let's say, for example, a surfer. So when you go to surf and you're waiting for the wave to come, and when the wave comes, you jump on your board and you surf, right? So between waves, you need to be at ease. It is not being patient, because patient is like breathing in the hope something will happen, right? So your patient is a tension, mm-hmm. But being at ease is relaxation. So I cannot force the waves. I cannot force the wind. I can only relax until the right time comes, and then I move. And the same thing is how it works in the quantum universe. Most people are trying to force their way to their goals. And ease means no forcing. So if there's no wind, I relax. If the wind is there, I put my sails up, I go. And to learn that, you have to unlearn all you know, right? Because we our tendency is to go on willpower. I want something. If you go to a training of someone like Tony Robbins, it's okay, power, go for it, do it. Yes, right? Wake up in the morning, passion, have your power. That kills you. That creates burnout, okay? When I saw Tony Robbins for the first time, I said, this man can never stay healthy if he keeps doing what he's doing. And that's true. Tony Robbins is being treated after every workshop. He has millions in dollars in apparatus to keep himself healthy because what he's doing is unnatural. And he calls himself a force of nature. So he's forcing himself. When I saw that, I said, no, this is wrong. Actually, I created a new therapy based on what I saw, what he was doing. So ease is the way. And there's many ways to make it easier in your life if you can listen inside. Most people are not listening inside. They're listening to telling their head what they want and they go for it. No, we need to have time to listen, not only to ourselves, but to the universe. We need to connect to the universe. And when we take that time, we are guided in a way that is healthy for our bodies, healthy for our families, healthy for our relationships, and so on and so on. That's for me ease. It is following the waves and not forcing yourself to do what you think is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. How important is conscious, conscious discipline, or like a morning routine or evening routine?
Well, if you understand the mechanisms of how things work, I only work now with the laws of quantum science. So what we know of these laws is that quantum science states everything is energy and frequencies. So what we consider to be matter, material, like our bodies, is wave energies that has a low frequency, and then we can see it, we can feel it, we can measure it. So most people try to influence matter, and that's hard. It can be done, but it's very hard to do. So if we want to change our lives, the best way to do it is to understand two things. One, how to work with energy. Number two, how the brain works. So if we understand those two things, now we can go quicker. So how the brain works is like this. When we are awake, our brain waves are the most fast, the most chaos, and we are in what is called beta brain waves. So it's very, very fast. And from an intellectual standpoint of view, we are at the lowest intelligence, okay? So the more you try to think, the less smart you are. Okay, so that's just a fact. If we look at people like Einstein, Nikola Tesla, Michelangelo, all the great geniuses of our time, Mozart, you just find any great person who does a lot, you will then find that they don't do it by thinking. They do it by relaxing and connecting to the field, because in the field there's all the information. Quantum science, the way I understand it, states you cannot create, you can only resonate with what is created. So if I want something from my heart desires, it's already there. So my job is to go not into the thinking part, but to get the information from a relaxed point of view. So if I start to relax, I go into alpha. Alpha is when the brain waves slow down. And when we go into alpha, we have access to our subconscious mind. So when a person is taking a shower, walking outside, running, they go into alpha. Watching television, they go into alpha. And that's when you remember things. Oh, okay. You get an idea. That's alpha. If you go deeper, you slow your brain waves even deeper, you go into theta. And in theta, That's where you're connected to the universe. That's where you can get all the information in the universe. So people meditate will often go alpha, then into theta. In the theta, they may experience whatever, God, the universe, or nothing at all, right? So that's that. If you go even deeper, you go into delta, and that's where we go into dream state. So what I teach people is how to go to theta to connect to that. Now, the moment you are busy with your day, you are in beta. Okay, so you go, you do your job, you're working, you're in beta. When you're in beta, you're disconnected from the field, unless you're very well trained. So if you're very well trained, you can stay connected. But most people are disconnected. So why do we need rituals, especially in the morning? We need rituals because we're still close to the brain waves. It's easier to go into alpha and theta in the morning when you just wake up. That's number one. Number two is that we need to become more conscious of how we create. So most people wake up in the morning, get out of bed, do their thing, and run until it's time again to go back to bed, right? So they are on autopilot. There's no consciousness there. Even spiritual people, once they start up and running, consciousness goes to practically zero, unless you are self-aware. So we need to become self-aware of our behavior. Self-awareness is like being able to see yourself, being able to evaluate yourself, your emotions, your behavior, what you say, what your body's physiology, all of that is awareness. So in the morning is the best time to set your intention for the day. So in the morning, I want to know, okay, how does my day, or how do I want my day to look like? How do I want to feel during the day? What do I want to accomplish today? That's the morning part. So that's the beginning. Then in the afternoon, I need a reset. I want to go back into, because I've been running now around for a few hours in beta. So then let's say what most people take lunchtime, I take time to reconnect again back into delta, theta, and so on for at least half an hour. And before I go to bed, I want to evaluate my day. So I look back at my day. How did it go? Did I manage to stay happy? Did I manage to be in that state I wanted to be? Did I manage to take decisions from power and not from fear? And if I recognize there was a moment I was triggered by whatever it is, could be my wife, could be it's a conversation, I need to go back to that moment and then ask myself the question, if I was in my power now, how would I now react differently? Because now I'm building in my brain what's called synapses. Synapses are the connections in the brain between the neurons and the nerve cells, that when you have these connections, you do things on automatic pilot. Okay, so we want to become our powerful, loving self on autopilot, not by having to force it. And that's why we need routines. That's why we need rituals in order to rewire our brain so it functions in a way that's autopilot, and that we become more aware of ourselves, of what we're doing, and that we are aware of when we come in a comfort zone. Because when we're in a comfort zone, all learning stops. A comfort zone is good for a while, you enjoy it, but then it's time again to step out, because we are in a never-ending cycle of not learning by discovering our potential. And we have so much in us in so many ways, and most people waste time. My time is sacred. I don't waste time. I don't waste time with people because my time is too sacred. It's the only thing I cannot get back. Once it's spent, it is gone. So people are sleeping through their lives, not one life, not two lives, hundreds of lives. They sleep through these lives and they complain that they're not happy. Well, it's time to wake up. So if you want to wake up, if you want to become conscious, if you want to become self-aware, if you want to become happy, if you want to have a great life, you're not going to have that by just not having a way to get there. So you need those rituals, those routines and habits to get there. And that's why in all my trainings, I really teach people how to make the time sacred and how to use that sacred time to become the greatest, grandest self that they can be in this lifetime, not into the next, right? In this lifetime, I want to be the best I can be. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Mm-hmm. I know so many people and they have no problems to sit down for 2.5 hours and check out a Netflix series. Mm-hmm. But they have a big problem to sit down for 3 minutes or 10 minutes of meditation. What's going wrong?
Well, number one, there's a lack of awareness why we're here. You see, most people never really answer the question, why did you come to this planet? Most people don't even know who they are. Most people identify themselves with their jobs. Saying, if people ask someone, who are you? Well, I'm Dr. So-and-so, which is not who you are. That's what you do. All right. So when we say I am is the most magic formula in the world. If you say I am sick, what are you really saying? Right. You are now believing that your body is you, right? I am angry. No, you're not angry. It is whatever we call your programming is reacting. Something is going on. So one of the things people need to understand is that we are made of an essence. We are energy. I call it the divine essence or whatever. It's light. And then when you know that you're light, that is now linked to a light is five-dimensional energy. It is linked to a three-dimensional body. So the first thing people need to know, I am not my body. If you're not your body, then who are you? Okay, once you know who you are, then you can see through the illusion of the three-dimensional body, mind, feelings, and so on and so on. And so people are distracted from who they are, and they use their time to distract themselves even more. And I'm not saying you should not watch a movie or whatever. I watch a movie because I'm looking for a message. So first, if I'm looking at something in Netflix, I'm sitting there with my notebook ready to make notes because I know the movies I choose have a message for me. And now once I find the message, it will add to my life. But if I'm doing it only for distraction, I might miss all the messages. Mm-hmm. And my life doesn't change. I'm not going to get happier from watching Netflix, right? I'm not get happier from, let's say, you know, just go on reading a book that doesn't give me something back. So everything for me is around time. How I'm using my time to most effectively based on why I'm here. So once you know why you're here, then you will use your time different because you will honor your mission on this planet. And when you honor your mission on this planet, then life is going to be totally different. And that's why I think everything begins with the question, who am I and why I'm here? And then it's going to be different.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. What does true success mean to you?
Well, let's first define what is not. Okay, so it is not having a lot of money. It is not being famous. It is not having power or influence, all of that. Actually, a lot of that can be a distraction because I work with a lot of people who are super rich, millionaires, billionaires, all those kind of people. And what a lot of people consider them to be successful, but they're the biggest failures on this planet. They're unhappy, they're unhealthy. A lot of them are addicted to all kinds of stuff. That is not the definition of success. That's a definition of doing something and making a lot of money, having a lot of influence, et cetera, et cetera. But they should not be role models for anyone, okay? Maybe there are some things we can learn from them. We can learn from any person on this planet. And we can learn from them how not to do something. That's number one thing we can learn.
That's
and
good.
Number two, we can learn what are they doing right that I want to emulate, what I want to copy from them. You know, so maybe a great speaker might be an inspiration for me to be a better speaker. That I want to learn from that. For me, true success is becoming who you are meant to be. True success is finding your mission to make a difference on this planet. True success is leaving a legacy that inspires others, but in a way that it's not lopsided like just making money, but it is being a full person. True success is being an authentic person. True success is opening your heart to love more. True success is being a master in forgiveness. So for me, I am a student learning. I'm not consider myself to be successful as I want to be. People can tell me I'm successful, but I have my own standards of success. And in my standards of success, I can tell you there's much more work to do than not to do. So I'm going there, but I have no illusion that I'm going to be ready in the next year or so. My illusion is I may spend my next 60 years still studying how to be who I want, who I am, what is my destiny to be. Mm-hmm. And the more I know, the more I realize what I don't know. So, and I think a big part is unlearning the things that we learned in our childhood from social media. Right now, I'm working on tuning myself in to the universe that I'm totally a pure channeler of information, that I do not have any disturbances from my ego or my beliefs or what I think is right, but to be a pure channel for the universe. And that's right, I'm researching right now, because I'm creating a channeling training where people are connected to the universe and where they can find their true mission, that they are here. Because a lot of people do not have the true mission. They're looking for it, they think they have it, but the only true mission that we need to find first is ourselves. Who are we? Once we find that, then we can ask, okay, what is my assignment? Now I know who I am, what did I come to do? And people say, oh, you come here for learning. Not true. We've come to this planet so many times, right? So why do we need to learn? No, we don't need to learn anymore. We just need to know who we are and then be that person. When you're that person, everything unfolds in the way that you cannot even expect what is going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Such wonderful words. And unlearn, it's such a good word. Yeah. Wonderful. You have such a wonderful relationship with your wife, Joy, mm-hmm. and so much love swings between you. Mm-hmm. What are the secrets of a happy and holy relationship?
Okay. The secret is, number one, and that's the toughest part, is the moment that you think that you may gonna have a relationship with a person, to realize what is it that you want out of the relationship. Most people are totally confused about relationships, and they think it's about love. We don't know what real love is. As long as we're in a human body, we will never know what true love is. So a relationship for me is having a contract with a person where we agree we're not going to run away when we first get some trouble. Okay, the contract is that we are going to support each other to solve any conflict that shows up in between us, and to support each other to become the best version of ourselves. That's one thing. Now, in any relationship, you will have conflicts. It's just natural, because both persons are coming in with their own back pack, and then sometimes with luggage, with the dirty laundry for many lifetimes to come into the relationship. And there's this belief of the ideal relationship, which doesn't exist in the sense. No relationship is going to be without problems forever and so on. So you need to have clear agreements in your relationship, clear agreements about anything, so that both people can feel safe in the relationship. This is step number one. If you don't feel safe in a relationship, you're already in trouble, right? If you cannot speak your heart's desires, you're in trouble. If you cannot speak your truth, you're in trouble. If you cannot say no without having a storm load on you, you're in trouble. So safety first in relationship, to be you and to accept the other person, not because they're perfect, but accept them into imperfectness. And know that is a choice we made to go through this intimate relationship together so that we both will come out stronger. We have no guarantee whatsoever we're going to be here forever. That's the one, let's say, you can make that, let's say, agreement, but we don't know. I mean, we don't know what can happen. But one thing we do know is what we can contribute to the relationship. And what happened between me and Joy was that we had very clear agreements, and we learned later that some agreements we didn't have yet. So we need to adjust agreements. So we're learning into that. But we had a few rules. Rule number one was, if we have a conflict, if we're angry, we will be sure we will find a solution for that, right? That's one thing. We have the agreement. We will never say, I'm going to divorce you. That is not a thing. The agreement is, we will solve the problem. And what we discovered was that every time we solve a problem, our love becomes bigger. We feel more love. And we have learned that there's no end to the amount of love you can feel. We have learned that when we come in a relationship, we have walls built around the heart. We never show ourselves 100%. We always hold back. So in the relationship, we're breaking these walls down over time so that we can show more of our loves. And the more you show of your love, the more sensitive you become. So then at some point, you are more vulnerable to the other, right? It can become more painful. So you have to have very powerful tools how to deal with your pain. So I'm now in the phase of in our relationship where I need to be able to fulfill all my needs that I put on Joy. I need to fulfill them in myself. So that's my next challenge right now. And for her, the need that you need to fulfill is she wants to be independent as a woman, and she needs to fulfill that need, right? To show to herself, not to me, that she can be independent as a woman. I need to be able to give her the space to do that. So I cannot have my needs and say, no, you cannot do this or not. So I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's worth it. Because I am a master teacher for Joy, and Joy is a master teacher for me. And a master teacher is someone you cannot run away from. All right? So that's a true master teacher. They don't let you escape with your nonsense. They don't let you get away with your bullshit. They will call you up on your stuff. That's a master teacher. And once you find your master teacher's partner, so if you have a partner who doesn't want to grow with you, that is your master teacher. How can I stay in my power with someone, for example, who's not interested in spirituality, or someone who is not interested in what you do, or has other interests that you are not interested in? So those are also tough relationships, because the ultimate goal is to discover that you can be happy by yourself. And once you're happy by yourself, the second thing you need to learn is not to allow anyone to take your happiness away from you. And that's what a relationship is for, because we can give the power to someone else in a relationship or not, and they can take our happiness away. And now we feel miserable, we feel crushed, we feel rejected, we are in pain, we are angry, we have sadness. So first, discover you can be happy by yourself. Second, don't allow anyone to take your happiness away. And third, now, two happy people is more happiness. Do you understand? One happy person with one unhappy person is more powerful than two unhappy people. Do you understand? So that's the purpose of spiritual relationships. You know, of course, we have more things. We can be father and mother, but all of that is an illusion, because we're not father and mother of anything. We are just have an agreement that we will have a child. And we think that we're the father and mother of this child, but we're not. We are biologically, we are, but spiritually we're not. And that's what a trap for a lot of people, that they stay in this unhealthy relationship with their parents. You know, at some point, we need to grow up and we need to treat our parents as equals, not as our parents anymore. They need to deserve a respect. They need to deserve a love. And if they don't, we need to consider them just as normal people. Yes, we are resonating the DNA, but more important is we have also a soul mission with each other. And most people don't see those things, and they get stuck into what they believe is the right concept about family, about love, about relationship. And that's why we waste so much time with things that don't work. And that's a huge problem for us now.